Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
There's always confusion surrounding various life issues because, let's be honest, there are those who thrive upon the confusion. There are causes and there are things that can only be done here in America because confusion is produced. For instance, the wanton destruction of human embryos for medical research. I say wanton because it's done with eyes wide open. The researchers know what they're dealing with. They're dealing with human embryos, human life, and still they would rather destroy it for their own ethical reasons to find their cures. Few have been found. But why do we have this confusion? And is there any way of clearing up this confusion? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be trying to clear up some of the stem cell confusion. Robert Perry of Life Training Institute will be our guest for the first half of this hour. And then Joe Carter will join us. We'll talk about fad-driven Christianity. He's from First Things. Robert Perry is a speaker with Life Training Institute and an instructor with CrossExamine.org. He's author of True Horizon blog, and he's also written an article in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal titled Stem Cell Obfuscation. Robert, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Why do you think there is so much confusion about stem cells, and how does this confusion serve the purposes of those who are proponents of embryonic stem cell research?
Well, I think there's a few ways that confusion is created. Primarily, there's a failure of people to distinguish between stem cell research and embryonic stem cell research. Stem cell research, I honestly don't know of anyone who's opposed to stem cell research. There have been so many therapies that have come about using stem cell research with adult stem cells that it's something we should obviously pursue if it's going to help people out. Where the confusion comes in is people will just refer to it as stem cell research when they don't distinguish between where those stem cells come from. Embryonic stem cell research is what we have a moral difficulty with, and it's because we're using embryos that have been either created for the purpose of being destroyed for research, through in vitro fertilization, we refer to them as leftover embryos, as if those are somehow different from normal embryos. And so the source of the stem cells creates the most confusion of anything, I think. There is also confusion about when we talk about cloning, to create stem cells that can be used for research. People refer to it as reproductive cloning or therapeutic cloning. And what we need to understand is that all forms of cloning are reproductive. It's just a matter of what you do with the embryos that are created. If we tear them apart to use for research, we call that therapeutic, and people are all for that. But if we take that same embryo and allow it to live and let the embryo become a complete living, born human, That's called reproductive cloning, and that's against the law. So we have kind of a dichotomy of issues going on there, and because these terms are used interchangeably, it creates a lot of confusion, and I think that's why.
And how is it that those who are in favor of embryo-destructive stem cell research use this confusion to their advantage?
Well, when we talk about stem cell research and the promises it has for curing diseases and cancer, and Christopher Reeve was going to be able to walk again. All those promises are very compelling to people, and so if you offer that kind of a promise, and then paint your opponent as being opposed to those kind of breakthroughs, scientific and medical breakthroughs, then it makes your opponent seem like they're just anti-science. That's a term that's used a lot. And that for some reason, which is never really explained, they don't want to see these kind of cures come about. But they, again, by leaving out the key term embryonic stem cell research, they fail to pinpoint the moral distinction that we're trying to make.
Let's talk about some of the timeline, if you will, because, and I think you're quite right, this confusion didn't arise in the last 5 years. It has been coming in one form or another for a very long time. You go all the way back to 1978. What happened then?
Well, in 1978, the first test tube baby was born on July 25th, and I just mentioned that because it's my birthday, so it kind of jumped out at me. And because of that, because of the controversy surrounding that, Louise Brown, who was Health and Education and Welfare Secretary, appointed an ethics advisory board to look into this issue of creating embryos in the early development and using them for in vitro fertilization and also for research. That became a very controversial thing and led President Carter to make not renew the ethics advisory board. It expired, and so that was hopefully going to be the way that they were going to block embryo destructive research. It didn't turn out that way.
Then what's the next major event on the timeline in kind of the progress of what we've ended up with now as this profound confusion on stem cells?
Well, in 1994, the Human Embryo Research Panel, as it was called, was appointed by the National Institute of Health leader to look into ways to develop in vitro fertilization techniques that could be used for embryonic stem cells. This brought the issue back into the limelight, and the contentious nature of this issue led President Clinton to, led a couple of congressmen to introduce an amendment to an omnibus appropriations bill called the Dickey Wicker Amendment, named for the two congressmen, which would prohibit embryonic destruction for stem cell research. President Clinton signed that bill in 1996. And that bill, that rider, as we call it, amendment to the Omnibus Appropriations Bill, has been signed by every president every year since then, which leads us to the interesting issue that I tried to point out in the article. I don't know if you want to get to that in a minute or if that's you want me to talk about that now.
Why don't you talk about it now?
Okay. After that, as I said, that amendment has been signed by every president since then. But in 2001, President Bush actually allowed stem cell research, not for the creation of embryos for the purpose, but for IVF lines, in vitro fertilization leftover, as we term, I don't like using that term, but for lack of a better term, embryos that were left over from IVF would be allowed to use. There were 21 lines that President Bush allowed that they could do stem cell research with. This was put in place by an executive order that he signed on August 9th, 2001. So the irony is that President Bush is always called anti-science and against progress and all that, but he was the first president to actually allow federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Well, in 2007, he created another executive order, which instead of funding embryonic stem cell research as we've thought of it in the past, funded a method called induced pluripotent stem cell. That's a kind of a technical term. But what that is taking stem cells from an adult human and inducing them to act like embryonic stem cells. So he funded that. So just to back up for a second, he allowed the federal funding of embryonic stem cell research on the 21 lines of IVF embryos that were left over. He then funded what became known as adult stem cell research in 2007. And this was very successful. Well, last year, on March 9th, 2009, President Obama rescinded President Bush's executive order that made a put a limit or put a disallowed federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. So President Obama rescinded that executive order, and in effect, the big press conference was that he had lifted the ban on federal funding of stem cell research. The twist comes in 2 days later, on March 11th, 2009, President Obama, like every president since President Clinton back in 1996, signed the Dickey Wicker Amendment, which defunds and disallows federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. So 2 days after he claimed to have lifted the ban and saved the world, he then signed the Dickey Wicker Amendment to the Omnibus Spending Bill that undercut the very executive order he had signed 2 days earlier, and this part never came out in the press.
It's a little bit confusing when we come back. Does President Obama understand? Does he realize what the issue here is, both medically and ethically? We're talking with Robert Perry of Life Training Institute, author of an article in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal titled Stem Cell Obfuscation. We'll be right back. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Do you wish that your pastor would preach more often from the Old Testament? Is it possible to find Christ for sinners in the Old Testament? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. This CD resource contains 61 sermon texts written by Dr. Ken Sherb. You can browse before you buy, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Old Testament Collection by calling 1-800-325-3040.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about stem cell confusion on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 16th. Robert Perry of Life Training Institute is our guest. Before the break, you were talking about how the president decided to, by overturning a previous executive order from the Bush administration to fund embryonic stem cell research, and then turned around just a couple days later and signed the long-held amendment that would restrict federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. Does the president realize what the issue is, both medically and ethically?
Well, I don't like to question people's motives, but President Obama is a smart, very intelligent person. He may be misinformed. He may be not distinguishing between stem cell and embryonic stem cell research. I don't know. But I find it hard to believe that he doesn't understand the issue and enough to know that that he just undid his own executive order 2 days later. I mean, that's kind of blatantly obvious. So I guess I would let people come to their own conclusion on that.
So in a nutshell, how would you kind of track what you call the purposeful defeat and tactical shenanigans that have gone on with respect to embryonic stem cell research?
Well, I think people are motivated to, honestly and legitimately motivated to help people, medical conditions, and try to achieve these cures that they want. What they want to do, consequentialist ethics. They're looking for an answer that will solve a problem that sounds very good to people, and they're looking at the outcome, and they're weighing the outcome more heavily than they're weighing the very specific moral issue that comes with destroying those embryos. In other words, they think that the challenge that science is allowing us to try to overcome here is more important than the actual destruction of a human embryo, a human being, and they're willing to look past that and to do whatever it takes to make that happen. Like I said, I don't want to question their motives. I think their motives are good. They are actually trying to do good for people, but they're ignoring a moral question that has to be asked before we can do these kind of things. Just because science says we can do things doesn't mean we should.
I'd like your thoughts on two things that President Obama recently said with respect to stem cells and embryonic stem cell research. He says that those who are opponents of embryonic stem cell research on ethical grounds are offering us, quote, a false choice between sound science and moral values. Your reaction to that characterization?
Well, that's a completely disingenuous term or way to put that. It's not a false choice between sound science and moral values. If it was a false choice, he shouldn't care about what the measures he's taken to make this come about. As I said at the beginning, stem cell research, the scientific issue of stem cell research, everybody's for that. Everybody wants to find these cures. But the moral values that we're talking about are whether we think that destroying one human being in order to benefit another human being is okay. And that's the question. That's the moral question. Whether some people are anti-science or not has absolutely nothing to do with it.
So if you had a few minutes to talk with President Obama, what would you urge him to do?
Well, I would urge him to do what I think is it's a win-win political issue for he's a politician. I mean, I'm not saying that negatively, but as a politician, President Obama would be able to claim victory what I didn't mention before, and I want to say it real quickly here, is that when he lifted the ban, part of the executive order that he used to do that also rescinded President Bush's executive order that, as I said, funded these induced methods of creating stem cells. So he defunded the induced pluripotent stem cell research while he claimed to lift the ban on embryonic stem cell research. Well, that induced pluripotent stem cell research, which uses adult stem cells, that and other methods, cord blood, whatever, there are close to 80 successful therapies that have come from that. That is what he defunded. At the same time, we have people with moral questions about embryonic stem cell research, and he wants to support that. Embryonic stem cell research has had exactly zero cures. Not one has come out of embryonic stem cell research. So I say, do President Obama, please, do the win-win. Make yourself look good. You can not only fund the adult stem cell therapies that have been so successful and claim victory for that, but at the same time, you can assuage the moral problems that people have with this embryonic stem cell research. It's a win-win. You make both sides happy. That is a true compromise, and I would encourage him to do that and wonder why he hasn't done that on his own.
Finally, then, how can we cut through what you call the stem cell obfuscation?
Well, I think we have to be clear about, as I said at the beginning, the differences between embryonic stem cell research and stem cell research. We have to be clear about the differences between reproductive and therapeutic cloning. I guess I should say we should be clear that there is no difference. We should be clear about who is science and who's anti-science. I don't know anyone who is anti-science. And so I think we have to be very clear. When a politician or anybody else wants to talk about stem cell research, we need to make them specify what it is they're exactly talking about. Are they talking about embryo destructive research or just adult stem cell research that has been so successful? So I think if we're just clear about our terms, that will go a long way to getting past some of these seemingly insurmountable obstacles that we seem to have between one another.
Robert Perry is speaker with the Life Training Institute. He's an instructor with crossexamine.org, author of the True Horizon blog, and he's also written an article for the latest Christian Research Journal titled Stem Cell Obfuscation. We'll post a link to his blog at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you.
Thank you very much.